Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, February 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. Things are really shaping up here, I got to be honest with you. Today on the show, we will take a culinary trip across the pond to taste and discuss food and drink from the land of the Union Jack. Here to help us on this journey, two folks from the Old English Pub in downtown Albany. Bev Vanacore is the restaurant's head chef, and Chloe Houlihan is the general manager, and they're already pouring the Boddingtons and I think scotch. If you have a question about English food and drink, give us a call now. In fact, call early. You never know. We may be asleep by halfway through the show. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Yeah, English food coming up. Well, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're on a journey to the land of the Union Jack today, and as we discuss English food and drink, here to steer the way are two folks from the Old English Pub in downtown Albany, New York. Bev Vanacore is the restaurant's head chef, and Chloe Houlihan is the general manager. The Old English Pub serves a rotating menu of English food and beers, along with single malt scotches and handcrafted cocktails. The building itself also has quite a history. The historic Quackenbush House was built in the 1730s, you know, when the English still ruled this town. Bev and Chloe, welcome to Food Friday.
Hi. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, now I hope you're not nervous. This might be your first time on our show, but it's a very relaxed show, and actually more relaxed since Chloe's been pouring scotch. The number to call is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about English food or anything under the sun, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So, I don't know if you ever heard the show, but usually we talk about what you brought first, and what did you bring us today?
Well, for starters, we brought a beer, a cider, a scotch, and a whiskey.
Now, this beer, the darker beer, is very good, and this is Boddington,
right? It's Boddington's Pub Ale, yeah. So it's on a nitro line, so it's a really smooth, creamy,
little tiny bubbles.
Yeah.
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 Very good. Very good.
Very clean mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. And what's the other beer?
That's a Strongbow Cider. So it's sweet and juicy. Maybe for people that don't love beer.
It looks like it has a fair amount of foam.
Yeah, there's a good amount of carbonation in there.
Is this artificially carbonated?
No, I mean, it's CO2. Yeah, so it's not a cask ale. It's not fermented carbonation.
Is cider becoming more popular?
This is the most popular one in the whole world.
Really?
And it's from England, yeah.
Okay. Now, how do you manage that? That must not be a very inexpensive endeavor to bring that over.
They must be going through a lot of apples.
That's very good. That's very good. Well, Bev Vanacore is the restaurant's head chef, and nice to have you here, and you're in your full garb.
I am. I got this pink chef jacket from one of my coworkers, and I love it.
Do you have to wear it every day?
No, I don't.
Unfortunately,
I can do whatever I want.
Okay, now you're. Tell us about what you brought, and then we'll talk about your job as a head chef.
Okay, so I brought a vegetarian tikka masala.
Tikka masala.
Yep.
Not something I would ordinarily say. Okay, well that, you know, a boiled roast or something. I would say that's English food. Tikka masala. Explain the connection.
So tikka masala is technically a traditional English dish. It's gone back to, I think it originated in the 1970s in England. And it's an Indian influence dish. So
yeah.
There's two stories of how it came to be. So nobody really knows which one's the truth.
Oh, tell them both. We have plenty of time. 800-348-2551 is the number.
So one version is that there were a lot of Bangladeshi chefs in England at that time, and they were just trying to find something that was the type of food that they made, but they could make for English people, that
yeah.
English people would like to eat, and it became very popular. And then the other story is that it was just one guy, one specific Bangladeshi chef, which I can't remember his name, that he...
We'll just call him Bob.
Yeah, Bob invented it. And same kind of deal. He was a Bangladeshi chef, and it's just his son says that he was the guy.
He was the guy?
He was the guy, so...
But it's very popular over there.
It's very popular over there. It's very popular at the Old English Pub. It's definitely one of our most popular dishes. It's been on the menu for a couple years now, and we do rotate the menu, but that's something we never take off because people love it.
And so if I go in and I want some real old English food, I can get some boiled mutton or something like that?
I don't know about boiled, but I did also bring a roast, which is a Guinness braised brisket.
Nice.
With Guinness gravy and mashed potatoes, heirloom baby carrots, and we also have a very traditional Yorkshire pudding, which isn't actually pudding.
Explain. Now, for those of us who have never had Yorkshire pudding but have heard about it in all the stories, what is it?
It's basically bread. It's like a very soft, almost not quite a biscuit. A biscuit's a little bit more dense than that, but that kind of texture. And it's very basic ingredients, just flour, eggs, and milk. And traditionally, when people are usually making it at home in England, they're using drippings from their roast or lard. So if I get the chance to use the drippings from the roast, I'll use the drippings from the roast to make it. Otherwise, I try to just use like a butter or an oil, you know. But it's simple but delicious.
I know I've had it before, and it surprised me. I said, this is pudding?
Wow, well, I've got some here for you.
This
so
is very exciting.
You can have it again.
We are joined today by Bev Vanacore and Chloe Houlihan of the Old English Pub in downtown Albany, New York. Now, the Old English Pub has been in that building for a number of years now. How many years?
Seven. Just over seven, yeah. It was seven last August, I believe.
No, I think it was, didn't we do a, we did a
so earlier
celebration. No, I think it was like October.
Anyway, around
whatever,
there. It was seven yeah. last year.
Well, that's a very old building.
We think that the foundation was laid in 1680.
Yeah.
And it's Dutch construction from the Quackenbush family. And then it seems like through all the additions with their expanding family, construction was complete by 1736. So right now it's the second oldest building in Albany.
I believe the English took over Albany in what, 1686, something like that?
All I can say is it was a Dutch family.
Yeah, so the Dutch were
in it until 1860.
Well, that's great. And does it provide you enough room to do cooking? I mean, how big's the kitchen?
Oh, geez.
Okay, good. Oh, we're on to something here.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
The kitchen is essentially a hallway. It's very, very small. It's very close quarters. So when you're working, you have to be really comfortable with your coworkers.
Yeah.
And you guys got to be able to communicate because it is.
She's working wonders with the space we've got,
yeah,
especially over the summer when the garden's open.
Exactly. So during the winter, not a problem. You know, we just can only fill the building as much as the building can be full. But in the summer, that opens up another 100 or so seats, so it can get stressful, but it works.
Now this
we make
is,
it work.
This is so funny, Bev Vanacore, because you're the head chef, but you've been working there a long time.
Yes, I actually started as a server.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how did you make that transition?
Well, I was starting as a server, but I have a lot of experience working in kitchens. Just that's what I started to do as soon as I could start to work. But I thought, I'm going to be a waitress. I'm going to make big money.
And how'd that work out for you?
It worked all right. I just prefer the kitchen. So I did for a while. I did a little bit of both. I did serving and I worked in the kitchen. And then I eventually just transitioned to just working in the kitchen and just kind of kept moving on up.
This is amazing. And
yeah.
So you were a line cook for a while, and mm-hmm. and you moved up, and now you're the head, and so you're in charge of the entire kitchen.
Yes.
And what, in your experience as a server and as a lesser cook in the kitchen, has helped you become a manager of all these people?
Well, definitely as a server, I understand what the customers are looking for. I understand the types of questions they're going to be asking. So it definitely helps me to respond to the servers who are coming to me now and asking me lots of questions and saying, you know, what's in this? Is this gluten-free? Does, you know.
Do you get that question a lot? We get that question a lot on this program.
Yeah.
Gluten-free seems to be a buzzword.
A lot. But we do have a lot of options, even if it's not made gluten-free. Traditionally, we can make it gluten-free. For example, the tikka. If you just take off the naan bread, gluten-free.
Oh, you got naan bread with that?
We got naan bread.
All right, we got to take a break here so I can have some
food. Delicious garlic naan.
This is exciting. Bev Vanacore is here and Chloe Houlihan. They are with the Old English Pub in downtown Albany. We'll take a break. And if you want to give us a call, if you have a question for these folks, 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. And we'll pour some more cocktails in a moment. Well, ordinarily during the breaks, I have a little nibble of whatever the guests have brought with them, but we forgot plates. So I haven't actually tasted anything but the naan, but the garlic naan is ridiculously good.
So good. I could just eat that plain all day long.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It is a Food Friday, and we have Chloe Houlihan, who's general manager of the Old English Pub in downtown Albany, nervous, but not showing it. Bev Vanacore is here. She is the restaurant's head chef, and tikka masala, vegetarian tikka masala, looks amazing, and I will try it soon enough when
Definitely.
We take some calls. Now, you had some, you had a text from somebody, Chloe.
My friend Daniel reminded me that not only is tikka masala the most favorite dish of England, but it's also the national dish of the UK.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, so you can't go wrong.
Well, the UK was
huge.
If it's
popular there, if it's popular here,
yeah,
somebody's doing something right.
All right, and the scotch you brought was.
It's Oban 14.
Oh, so fabulous.
I was recently over there with a couple friends and coworkers, actually, and we got to go to the distillery and experience this amazing little fishing town and, I don't know, ate great seafood, drank great scotch. So now I really don't go anywhere without it.
When you went there, I mean, are they a little resentful of all the people traipsing through their little fishing town?
Not at all. They were, of all the places I've traveled, they were the most... like welcoming and just so friendly. Just everyone was courteous, and it's so, I don't know, it's just nice and refreshing to walk into some place and somebody have the smile on their face and they want to know about your life and where you're from. And I don't know, I had a great experience in Oban and Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Well, that's good. That's good role model for you as general manager of the restaurant to say, this
yeah.
is what we want to do.
It was work research for sure. We put in, a lot of effort. We came home and kind of adjusted our scotch menu.
What else do you have?
We have a lot of single
really?
Malts. I think there's, at least 20 right now. Our oldest is Glenturret 27.
Have you had it? I mean, you probably
absolutely.
Only look at the bottle.
We do a ton of tastings over the summer, especially when we've got more space in the garden. And that's when we get to bring in really cool new products that are exclusively available for a limited time. And because, you know, they're scotch, the bottles, they last longer. So
is it pretty popular? I mean, the good single malts?
It's getting there, yeah. I think the biggest adjustment we made coming home from this trip was that we lowered all the prices and made the pores smaller in the scotch to make it a little more accessible.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
if you're trying something new, maybe you don't want to commit to 2 ounces at $16, but we dropped everything down to less than $10 so that everybody can try it.
You know, the price of scotch has been going up and up and up. Now, hard to believe, I know, but a couple decades ago, I really loved single malt scotch, and it was fairly reasonably priced.
No, the demand for it is out of control.
Across the world. Japan, it's huge.
Yeah, these tiny little distilleries in the center of these tiny little towns don't have anywhere to expand.
Yeah.
So they're doing the best they can, but... reasonably, they're just
and so you have to do the research to taste all these and make sure they're okay.
I'm doing the best I can,
good
you know.
Good for you, Chloe. Good for you. Let's take a couple of calls. 800-348-2551 is our number, and we start with Susan, who is on the road. Hello, Susan. Hello, Susan. Oh, Susan. Come in, Susan. All right.
Hello. Well,
oh, you're
Susan.
There. Hello.
There she is.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
You're on. Hello.
So I want to know what bubble and squeak is and why it's called that.
Bubble and squeakle?
Bubble and squeak.
Okay.
Bubble and squeak.
Okay, so a bubble and squeak is basically...
Boxing Day tradition, right?
It's really actually... I mean, it is very popular around Boxing Day, but it's basically when families or whatever in England are making dinner and they make a lot of root vegetables or vegetables from the previous night. Then they wake up the next day and they want something for breakfast. They just mash up their extra vegetables, their parsnips, their potatoes, whatever they have left, and form it into a patty and put it in a skillet and grill it up. And the reason that it's called bubble and squeak is because once you get the onions and everything into the pan, it does this crispy action in the pan. So it bubbles up. And while you're sauteing it, you flip it and it'll bubble and squeak a little bit. So that's why it's called that.
All right, Susan.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for
the call.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. We're here with Chloe Houlihan and Bev Vanacore of Old English Pub. I got to say, the vegetarian tikka masala is out of this world. It's so meaty. Tell us about your recipe.
Great, great. I'm happy you like it. So I was telling you before while we were off the air that it is vegetarian, but it can also be vegan. The sauce is completely vegan. So the sauce is a mixture of tomatoes and a lot of different spices. But just to name some off the top of my head, it's cumin, garam masala, coriander, garlic, just a blend of a lot of really great spices, ginger. So then when we cook it up in the pan, we're throwing in some fresh ginger, we're throwing in some fresh spices, especially with the vegetables pre-spiced before we put the sauce in.
Oh, really?
And then, yep, it's a little bit, like I said, there's so many different spices. I don't even know if I could name them all off the top
but,
of my head.
But, you know, it's not overpoweringly spicy when you eat it. It's a mild plateau.
Yeah, it's a nice blend of spices. And then there's also coconut milk in the sauce. So I feel like that gives it a nice, smooths it out, takes the spice, the extreme spice.
Yeah. Really, really good. And it goes great with the naan.
Yes.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Also goes good with the Boddington.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this pairing myself. The Boddingtons really can go with anything. That's
so, Chloe,
why it's
you
here.
Do a lot of testing.
It's part of the job. I don't know what else I would be expected to
do. Well, you are the general manager, and that you listen. You got to take one for the team.
I can't put a beer on the line without tasting it first.
What it tastes like.
Let's go to Donna in Albany. Donna, you're on.
Hi. Thank you very much. I was in London a couple of months ago, and I had this cheese called halloumi, and I was wondering if you could tell me how to cook it and what to cook it and serve it with.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I saw so much of that cheese when I was over there, both last summer and more recently, and I don't know how popular that is here or if, like, I'm not sure where it applies.
Yeah,
to
that
us.
Is actually not a cheese, unfortunately, Donna, that I've ever heard of. So, unfortunately, I don't have any advice for you on that.
What kind? Hard, soft? What
sure
cheese?
It was, it's soft.
Okay.
It's soft cheese, and it must have been introduced to the English cuisine, if you want to call it cuisine, by some other culture. I'm thinking maybe. Is it halal? I mean, see, this is what I mean. I don't know anything about it. All I know is I had it in a charcuterie one night, and I didn't, you know, and then I bought it. I bought it at the Honest Wade Food Co-op here, and I thought, okay, now I have it. What do I do with it? So I threw it in the freezer, and, you know,
yeah,
no, I need somebody to help me.
Still sitting there. Yeah,
tell
well,
me what to
I
do
mean,
with
that's
it.
That's very interesting. That's something that I'll have to look into because we do a lot of cheese boards, and, you know, that could be something we could add to it.
I want to say one of my friends tried it when we were over there, and it was... Definitely, it was served hot, so it was either grilled or fried. And I want to say there was a tomato sauce with it, but I couldn't tell you how to make it myself.
Yeah,
all right, Donna.
I'm assuming fried.
Okay, we'll all have to do some research. Thank you very much, though. Great show.
Thanks a lot,
Donna. Thank you for calling.
Number here is 800-348-2551. English food today from the folks at the Old English Pub in downtown Albany, New York. Bev Vanacore is the head chef, and Chloe Houlihan is the general manager. And let's go over to Bob in Broad Albany. Bob, you're on.
Oh, thank you. My mother came from an English family, so I'm well aware of Yorkshire pudding. It's an outstanding dish with roast beef. Now, when I was in college, I used to be able to buy an English ginger beer. It came in a ceramic crock, and I've never been able to find that since, like, probably 40 years ago.
Might it be
I'm
Krabby's?
Wondering whether you're I say again?
Krabby's ginger beer, maybe? I mean, that's the one that Krabby's. We carry currently. And that one's based out of Edinburgh, Scotland, but
Krabby's
it's huge
is
and...
delicious, but I don't recall a ceramic crock.
I can't say. Yeah, I can't
you
say
can,
that.
You can get it readily around here. It's very delicious.
Where can you buy it?
Oh, Beverage Center. I mean, we have it in my town in the Beverage Centers, and they probably have it in, you guys have it at the Old English Pub, and it's comes in a different, I think they have raspberry and orange and
we
then the
carry,
straight ginger.
Yeah, we carry the ginger and the raspberry.
It's pretty good stuff, man.
How do you spell that name?
C-R-A-B-B-I-E-S.
Crabbies.
Evelyn and George, Crabbies. Okay, thank you very much. Well, one other question I have for you. Is your menu on online on the internet? And, by the way, on the subject of veal, I have not been able to find nice, tender, apparently milk-fed veal anymore. Do you concur with that? Do you have a problem finding nice, tender veal?
The subject of veal, we actually haven't done much veal recently. So I do have a lot of different suppliers, though, that I go through. So I know that I can find pretty much any type of meat that I'm looking for through the great suppliers that I have. But I do understand that it may be harder for just a consumer in the stores, you know, to, to find something like that. I would advise going to, like, a specific meat shop or something like that. I know up here there's a couple different types of independent meat shops that might have something like that for you.
Okay, Bob, thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. You know, I got to try this Yorkshire pudding at some point.
I've got them. I've got them here.
All right. Well, maybe we should
time to get in that.
All right, let's see. Oh.
With the roast.
It's beautiful.
Look at that roast. Oh my gosh.
That's the Yorkshire right there.
That roast must have taken some effort.
Oh, it takes a little bit of effort, but you know,
that's
I enjoy making the
roast. So what else is it? What's on the top there?
All right, so we have Guinness braised brisket.
Nice.
With a Guinness gravy as well.
How long do we braise?
I mean, well, for the braising, it's you're just real quick braising the outside of the meat, and then you're going to be throwing it into the oven to fully
cook. And how long do we cook it?
Can take, depending on how big of the cut of meat, can take anywhere between 3 hours if it's a smaller cut up to like an overnight process, which would be like, you know, 12 hours, something like that.
It's a big brisket.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, it really just depends on the cut, how big, what you're trying to make. So a lot of times we do a Sunday roast, but a lot of times we do catering, and people order that for catering.
Yeah.
So it depends on how many people are coming. But so we've got the Guinness braised brisket.
Beautiful.
We've got the Yorkshire pudding.
Beautiful.
Mashed potatoes. Just can't go wrong.
Right.
And we've got some heirloom baby carrots.
Those heirloom baby, those are all carrots? Because I see yellow and orange.
That's the whole heirloom. They're all
different varieties?
Yeah, they're all different colors. They're so beautiful. They're yellow, purple,
I love how you
orange.
Roasted this one. It's blackened on one side.
Yeah.
I might have to go for that.
Yeah, you should.
The blackened carrot.
It's all for you.
All right, let's take another call. I'll have a nibble here. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Kathy in Brunswick.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering how to cook a good beef roast.
A beef roast?
Yes.
Okay. Well, like I was saying kind of about this Sunday roast that I was just talking about, you want to start by searing each side of the beef before you put it in to roast in the oven. So like I said, you're going to want to look up on, you know, Google how big your roast is, depending on the cut of your meat, how long to cook it for. But the best thing to do is sear each side very well before you put it into the oven. And then you're going to want some juices or some type of broth in there to, like, cook while you have it going. So like I had said, this was a Guinness braised brisket, so we threw Guinness in there to let it cook. So honestly, just the best thing to do is get that good, nice sear on each side. Throw it in the oven, and you should be good to go.
And at what temperature?
Again, it just depends on how big the, how it is. But it's usually between 400 to 450 degrees.
And what temperature inside the roast are we looking for?
For inside, the roast should be at least 140 degrees.
Okay. All right, Kathy, thank you very much for the call. Have a great weekend. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Chloe Houlihan is general manager of the Old English Pub in downtown Albany. Bev Vanacore is the restaurant's head chef. Bev, I got to say, this carrot is one of the greatest things. I haven't even tried the roast yet. I could put... Do you just throw this in with the roast?
Well, no. So we do roast the carrots separately because we do get a lot of requests for people who are vegetarian or vegan that want just a side of vegetables or something like that. So we roast the carrots separately. We just roast them in the oven with some olive oil, some spices, and then when we re-cook them up, I always throw some thyme in there because you can't really go wrong. It's a great herb.
I love this taste. It, and the texture and the way it's cooked, it reminds me of a hot dog. I could put this on a hot dog roll.
I'm gonna have to get one of these.
Try it.
I haven't eaten one of these carrots in a minute.
Go for it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's take another call here and ask Bev a question while she's chewing. That's always annoying. Jeremiah in Springfield, you're on.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm a first time listener. I just turned it on about 5 minutes ago. I had a question. I love gin. I'm really into gin.
Me too.
As of late. I love martinis, Negronis, any of the classic cocktails that has gin in it. I love it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know if you had any suggestions for a nice English or Scottish gin. I love the Botanist. Plymouth is good. I love Hendrix, but I didn't know if you had anything else that was a good recommendation.
So you like the more botanical ones. You don't like the straight London gins?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah, not too botanical.
All right, Chloe, you go first, and then I'll go.
I would say there's so many gins out there that are really cool, and it definitely is one of those things you have to just get into and experience each one. But our house favorites for martinis are definitely going to be Bombay Sapphire. In England, okay. Bombay is going to be the biggest and most popular, followed by Hendrix is the most popular for a gin and tonic. If you're looking for a really cool Negroni, we've featured a cocktail with a barrel-aged gin from Lockhouse out in Buffalo. Yeah, and that one was really nice.
What's it called?
It's Lockhouse's barrel-aged gin.
It's a barrel-aged gin, so you don't want to make a martini with that one.
No, but in a Negroni, it's a really beautiful melding of flavors.
All right, Jeremiah, my suggestion is, and I love making martinis too. It's one of my favorite things. Just boodle.
Yeah.
Boodles, man. Boodles. Boodles or beef eater. It's old school. Yeah.
I haven't had boodles before.
I love boodles. And I don't know if some liquor stores don't have it, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, okay. You had just said something about aged gin. In a martini, David A. Embury, he wrote a book called The Fine Art of Mixing Drinks back in the 50s, and he suggested putting his ideal martini has an aged gin in it. I've never tried it, but it's something I've always wanted to do, so maybe I'll try that Lockhouse one.
Yeah, it's a really great gin. We've used it in a couple different ways, but definitely with a Negroni, it's more of a favorite. We do make a couple really nice smoky martinis with our scotch. It's all about interacting with everyone as an individual and finding out what flavors work for you.
All right, Jeremiah, thanks for the call. Now, wait a minute. The alarm bell went off.
What's that?
A smoky martini with scotch?
Yeah.
If there's scotch in it, it's not a martini, right?
I mean, I would disagree.
Okay, let's
Anything's
argue.
Anything's a martini.
Argue. No, it's got to have gin if it's a martini.
I guess. I mean, you could play around with anything. It's all about, this is you know,
call it what you want.
Culture.
It ain't a martini, right?
I guess I can't call it what I want then.
Well, you can. You run the restaurant.
Yeah, that's what I said. We
do whatever you want. 800-348-2551 is the number. I can't wait to try the meat and the Yorkshire pudding. Which
Yeah, that Yorkshire pudding's...
Why don't you try it?
I mean, I've had it 100 ways. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting on you. You said you've never had it.
Well, I got to wait for the break, which is coming up in a few minutes. We'll take another call or two. What's the most popular dish you guys serve?
The most popular, probably between the fish and chips and the pub burger.
Okay.
So fish and chips, obviously, people are coming to the old English pub for fish and chips. And
do you serve it in newspaper?
Well, we do have a newspaper liner. Yeah,
yeah.
So it is.
It looks like newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not quite newspaper.
It's not running all over your chips.
Yeah. But it's specifically made for food. And it's actually really cute. London newspaper. So the fish and chips, definitely. And then, like I said, the pub burger that we have, it's a burger with a fried egg or a sunny side up egg, caramelized onions, lettuce, tomato, pub mustard, and a gherkin. It's amazing.
That sounds really good.
You know,
it's the best burger I've ever had.
Yeah.
The fish and chips, what fish are we talking about here?
It's cod. It's good. An Atlantic cod. And you're getting a big old serving. So it's a lot of fish. A lot of times people come in and they say, oh, could we split this?
You know?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, we don't get out much, but I was out with a couple of the kids and I put malt vinegar on my fish And they said, what are you doing? And do people still do that at the restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah? We serve it with, not technically with malt vinegar, but every table has malt vinegar on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I personally like to just put malt vinegar on my steak fries. Just on the chips, you know. But yeah, a lot of people use the malt vinegar still.
All right, well, we still have a ton of calls here on the line, and we will hit the home stretch of the program in a moment. Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. We have Bev Vanacore and Chloe Houlihan from the Old English Pub. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. English food today. We have Bev Vanacore here and Chloe Houlihan from the Old English Pub. Bev, fine work. Fine work on the beef and the Yorkshire pudding.
You like that pudding?
It's
all
a great combination.
Good. I'm happy you like it.
And so anybody who's expecting pudding when they order this,
it's not pudding.
And it's not even sweet. It's just beautiful.
It's just so simple, but it's really pairs well with that, like you said, like with the beef. It's just
now, I mean, if I was crazy, buttery. I'd take one of those carrots and I'd cut it in half and put it right in the Yorkshire pudding and eat it.
Well, there's a lot of things that you can do with Yorkshire pudding. So we normally serve them with the Sunday roast and with our steak. But I've seen lots of recipes where people stuff their Yorkshire pudding. So they take their, kind of like the bubble and squeak, like that woman had called before about, you're taking your leftovers, you're taking your extra meat and whatever, just chop it up, throw it inside your Yorkshire pudding, put it in the oven, done.
Really nice.
Meal right there.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Let's jump on the line and get a few calls in here. Daniel in Schenectady. Daniel.
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Really love the program.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure if this was mentioned before, but a couple things after listening. The tiki masala is not only popular, but it's been recently named the actual national dish of the United Kingdom, which I think is interesting.
They actually told me that in the break, and I said, oh, yeah, let's mention that. But you did, Daniel. Good for you.
Such a fascinating point. The halloumi cheese, too, to the woman that called, most Indian restaurants around here make it themselves, and I do believe, but don't quote me, that the Cheese Traveler in Albany, New York has halloumi for sale.
I bet he does.
But then again, you also—that's a cheese that's sort of easy to make in your own house. I don't know if you'll be able to make it well the first time you make it, but there's recipes all over the internet for that.
I'm not making any cheese in my house.
Yeah. Thanks for the info, because I was a little lost with that one.
There you go.
Yeah, now I've got some information.
You'll see that cheese in most any vegetarian dish that like a saag paneer or something like that in an Indian restaurant. It's kind of good. It's like a little bit thicker than tofu, kind of like a feta that doesn't crumble. My last question was actually, what do you find to be the most popular, British beer during the winter, after the holidays? So, like, now it's winter, it's cold, people want a beer. What's the most popular one at the pub?
I'm going to go with the Old Speckled Hen.
Very popular.
That one's just, year-round it's popular, but right now it's definitely its season.
All right, Daniel, thanks for the call. Are people gravitating toward the heavier beers?
Right now, they're ready for spring. You can tell everyone's, sort of steering that way. But we've got a couple darker beers on the line that definitely are moving at faster than I would expect at this time.
Are we serving our beers over at the Old English Pub?
They're not cask beers, so it's not anything too traditional.
No, it's not nice and warm like stereotype.
But if you want, I can pour one while you're drinking sit out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all
so
right.
This is spot on.
You brought cider as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me
Strongbow
about that.
Cider. So this is the number one selling cider in the world. It's from England.
You're going to pour any?
I think I owe you a sample.
Yeah, you do. All right.
I'll
give a sample and I'll give the number. 800-348-2551 is the number. While she's pouring the cider, let's go to Judy in Woodstock. Hello, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Here is my question. I make a soup which is a sort of based on a family recipe, a flunkin' soup, if you know what that is. anyway, it's beef and marrow bones and, you know, carrot, parsnip, dill, onion, celery, and then both colors of split peas and barley. And I started adding soybeans and wheat berries to it under the influence of Francis Moore LaPay. But it occurred to me I don't really need to have meat in it if I can get the flavors to work right. So I left the meat out and the bones out and used a boiling disc so it doesn't stick. I have to use a pressure cooker to do all the dried vegetable stuff.
So but what time are we coming over for dinner?
Yeah, we're coming
over tonight. They sound intrigued, Judy.
We'll be there in an hour.
What should I use to make the flavor work? Because I added tomatoes and even, I mean, canned tomatoes, and I even added a bay leaf, and it's just not right.
I honestly think that if you're not trying to serve it to a vegetarian or a vegan and you're just trying to leave the meat out, you just put a little bit of beef stock in there.
Yeah.
Just put a little bit of beef stock or beef bouillon in there, and that should bring it back to kind of the flavor that you're used to.
But if I wanted it to be, you know, a vegan meal, what would I have to use to flavor it? I don't know that it's going to taste exactly the same, but it doesn't taste like the flavors are coalescing.
What about mushrooms? Yeah, that's you have mushrooms in there?
Yeah, that's tough. But yeah, mushrooms do give a nice...
No, I never did.
Yeah, mushrooms give a nice meaty taste, and like an also just eating the mushroom itself is like a meaty texture.
Yeah, the texture.
The texture itself.
Yeah, that's true.
I would also suggest maybe just putting in a little bit more vegetable broth. And sometimes you can find vegan or vegetarian beef broth substitutes. So if you found a substitute that that tastes like beef, you could still use that. That's something you might have to, you know, either go to a specialty store.
It feels
or...
like declaring defeat, though.
I know. Sometimes that's what you got to do when you're cooking for vegans and vegetarians. But I think the mushrooms, that'll give the texture.
All right.
And it's like anything else. Experimentation is the key. And Judy, thank you for the call. Two things. One, Bev, you know, inside baseball here on this program, 99% of the time we do Food Friday, we have plastic cutlery, and sometimes we have knives, sometimes we don't. All I have is a plastic fork, and this brisket cuts with a plastic fork. It is unbelievably flavorful and tender and
so
just
happy
outstanding.
Like it. Good. Great.
Well,
great.
Well done. The other thing is, Chloe, love this cider.
I told
it's a little
you,
sweeter
you
than
can't
I expected.
Eat it, right?
Me too. I call it juice.
Yeah. And this is rather light in the alcohol content, right?
Yeah, it's right around 5. If it's not 5 on the dot. So, I brought that and the Boddingtons because they're kind of classic for pubs, lower ABV stuff that you can drink 2 or 3 and not worry too much on like a double IPA or a Scotch ale.
You know, cider, I'm a beer drinker and booze and whatever, but I never really got into cider. But over the last year, I've tried a few, and there's some great ones in Vermont, and there's some great ones around here in New York. This one, in addition to being perhaps a tad sweeter than some of the dry ones I had.
Definitely.
The bubbles, again, they're tiny. They're it's very smooth. It doesn't hit you over the head. And this is because it's nitrogen bubbles?
Nope, that's the Boddingtons. This is carbonated with the same CO2 balance that we use in most of our beers.
It's beautifully done.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the most popular. So
yeah, I really
it wins
like
everyone
it.
Over.
I'm not a big beer drinker myself, so when I am looking for something that's not Jameson, I always default to the Strongbow. I just love it.
How's your Jameson holding out, by the way?
Oh, it's holding out.
Good. All right, well, let's take another call then. Peter in West Stockbridge. Peter, you're on.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Ray, a suggestion for you about gin.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried Junipero?
Don't know. No, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Where's that from?
Anchor Hawking in San Francisco.
Really? Domestic gin, eh?
Yeah.
I've had the gin from Berkshire Mountain Distillers, which is excellent. Their English style is
really
good.
Wonderful, yeah.
They make another one that is a little too botanical for my taste, but the English style is outstanding. Tell me about this one, Peter.
It's just a very simple gin,
yeah.
And if you just put it in a glass with an ice cube, it's delicious.
All right. Well, give it a shot, man. Thanks.
So, question for your guest.
Sure.
I have something in my kitchen. I open up the jar and the kids leave the room, but I think it's the most delicious thing on toast. It's Marmite.
Marmite, I have heard of that before. We have not...
What is it?
Experimented.
We haven't experimented. I feel like that might be a brunch experiment.
Sounds like an explosive. What is it?
M-A-R-M-I-T. It's Marmite and Bovril. They're both yeast extracts. And I grew up in England where we get home on a cold winter's night, and my mother would put a teaspoon in a couple of hot water, and it was delicious.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'd love to try that.
Yeah, we should maybe mess around with that for our brunch menu.
Well, Peter, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Kate in Egremont. Kate.
Hello. Hello. I hate to be another person joining the halloumi debate.
I'm loving this.
No, we're getting so much good information.
I believe your gentleman caller was getting it mixed up with paneer. Paneer is the Indian cheese that they make themselves in the restaurant.
Okay.
I believe halloumi and paneer and, you know, India and England have had like a long tradition for a long time of cross-pollination.
Hmm.
And I believe that halloumi is more a Turkish or at least Middle Eastern cheese that is more recently introduced.
Interesting.
With a newer wave of immigration. And how it is prepared is by dry frying it in a skillet. So it gets like a crispy outside.
Oh, I love that.
And then
that.
It's kind of melty a little bit on the inside, or chewy.
Mm.
Yeah,
and I think it's mostly served hot. It's always served hot from my understanding, and it's served with different kind of Middle Eastern type sauces, hot sauces. So that's my understanding of it, I'm sure. You know. And just on another note, Bubble and Squeak, I believe, certainly when I was growing up, was... very much tighter description than you gave. I'm sure it's morphed into something looser.
Go ahead.
But it was pretty much, it was cabbage and mashed potato, and you'd have it on Sunday with your roast. Your roast in the winter would be like roast beef, cabbage, mashed potato, maybe roast parsnips. But the Bubble and Squeak was pretty much like, you know, Monday night supper dish.
Ah.
And it would be, it would be done in a pan,
yep.
You know, and you'd put some onions in to make it taste better. And then you just kind of cook the whole thing in a pan, mashed up together, indeed, until it got crunchy.
Mm.
And it was usually up where I come from, which is more north, and I believe it's more of a northern dish. And then you'd have it with cold leftover meat from the Sunday lunch. That was, and maybe some heated up gravy.
Yeah, I've done just research. Unfortunately, I've never been to England.
No, but I think that most of, you know, when we're going with traditional dishes, we'll defer to our owner, Mark Graydon, his parents, John and Carol, and his upbringing and what they did in their household. So,
yeah, last time he was on, Mark's dad called the show.
Yeah.
And the Bubble and Squeak comes from the difference in texture between the cabbage and the onion.
Kate, now, from your accent, I'm guessing you're from Staten Island, right? No? Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, actually.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it. And let's go over to Charles in Fishkill. Charles.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I came into the program today a little late. You haven't mentioned an address for this restaurant.
Ah, well, what is the address for the restaurant? It's down by the Palace Theater in downtown Albany.
It's a block east, so it's 683 Broadway. It's the old Quackenbush House.
Yeah, it's been there for 350 years.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'm traveling to Scotland on Monday. I've never been.
Excellent.
And I wondered if your guests could recommend a scotch that I could get in Scotland, but not here.
Oh, well, you were just over there, Chloe.
We brought home one from Speyside, and it's just called Spey from Speyside.
Yeah.
But we had a great experience just going up through the Highlands, and honestly, any distillery you can go to. There's a bunch near Edinburgh. I'm not sure where you're flying into, but they're smaller, and they're
Edinburgh and staying in Edinburgh.
Nice. Yeah, there's a ton in that area. There's also a gin distillery right downtown there.
Scotch gin? Blah.
It was fine.
Sure
it was really great.
Yeah. I'll get some and I'll bring it back for you.
683 Broadway.
Thanks, Charles.
We'll
we appreciate
the
call. Have a great trip. Over to Jack in Palinville. Jack.
Hey, Ray, the old bamboo, huh? There you go.
How you doing, man?
Hey, I had a my daughter gave me a surprise 50th party at the birthday party at that restaurant. It was awesome.
Ah, cool.
I was so happy to hear that.
We had the fish and a whole boatload of Lafroy.
That's beautiful pairing.
I wanted to ask you about a beer that I was told they don't import anymore, but I haven't been able to find it actually in the last couple of years, but it's called John Courage.
Oh, I remember John Courage very well from the old days.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
You can't get it here anymore or what?
I don't know.
Not that I know of, but I know that New York State's been pretty tricky lately with, for lack of better terminology, just importing laws.
You used to be able to drink that 30 years ago. You could get that in bottles over here.
I know that there's a bunch of stuff when I go, to the South a couple times a year to visit my sister. There's a bunch of stuff like Innocent Gun and John Smith's that I can get there, but we can't get in New York State for one reason or another. It's just all...
Jack, I'll keep my eyes open for the John Courage for you. Another one that I haven't seen in a long time is the McAndrews Ale from Scotland.
No, but I'm taking notes. I've got a lot of research.
All right, Jack. Well, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We got time to squeeze one or two more in here before the end of the show. Heather in Forest Village, Connecticut, you're on.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you've ever had Toad in the Hole, which is, I love Toad in the Hole. And the way we make it was you put some pork sausages in the base of a pan with some fat of some kind in a very hot oven, and then you pour the Yorkshire pudding batter in over the top.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
So that
sounds great.
A lot different from, we had a previous chef before me, and he was doing Toad in the Hole, but he was doing it like we have over here that I've heard eggs in the middle. You know, when you cut out the middle of your piece of bread and you put your egg in. That's what he was telling me that Toad in the Hole was.
Oh, but this with the pudding. I mean, this is brilliant.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah.
No, we haven't had
it's
that.
Wonderful. And mine always rises. We always used to say it's like a bowler hat. It rises off the top, the pan, the batter, and then you cook the pork sausages first and before you put that in.
That sounds amazing.
Do you serve Scotch eggs in your restaurant?
Thank you for asking the question I was about to ask.
We do. Added them back to the menu. We had them a couple years ago. They're kind of a very tedious thing to make, but we like to have them for
very high cholesterol.
And so delicious.
People are just looking for them. People love them, and you just can't go wrong. Yeah. So we do have them right now.
Oh, great.
We do a rotating menu, so come and get them while they're hot.
All right. So if people want to find that menu, you guys are online, right?
Yes. TheOldEnglish.com.
Say it again.
TheOldEnglish.com.
And the address of the actual brick and mortar restaurant.
I'm sorry.
683 Broadway.
All right. Albany. I think we're about out of time, but tell us what goes in your Scotch eggs.
Scotch eggs. So it is ground sausage and it is an egg that's boiled.
Yeah.
And it's wrapped up in the sausage and then it's served with our traditional HP sauce.
Okay. So here's a little homework for you next time you're on the show.
Yes.
Bring the eggs.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
It was great meeting you both. The food was fantastic.
Thank you,
the drink was great. And we want to thank Bev Vanacore and Chloe Houlihan of the Old English Pub in Albany for being here today. Support comes from Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies, Millbrook, New York, presenting a new report on the latest science on the environmental and health impacts of road salt pollution for citizens and decision makers, available at caryinstitute.org. At Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, over 80 local farms on food vendors every Saturday. Live music with Tim Farkas this Saturday. Winter indoor market in the atrium, troymarket.org. Thanks again to Bev and Chloe of Old English Pub for being here. Thank you for listening and for some terrific international calls here on the program. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Zach, it's time to get your food. And Dina Salzman took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. And remember, Alan will be back in the big chair Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Stand by for news.